Help us, O Lord. Hallelujah. Those that are that need direction today, those that need to make some adjustments in their life, be their strength and their strong tower today, their stronghold. Give them grace to make the adjustment they need to make. Hallelujah. But I want to tell you that Jesus loves you with all his heart. I mean, he gave his life for you. He couldn't love you more than he's already loved you. He does care about you. But he wants to be your Lord. And he has a gift called eternal life that he wants to give to you. And a brand new life.
Strongholds are breaking. Yokes are being destroyed. Burdens are being removed by the authority and the power of the Word of God. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana.
I'd like to invite you to our annual Word Explosion
beginning September 6th through the 9th.
This will be 4 days of power, 4 days of healing, 4 days of building our faith in the Word of God. Our special guest ministers are Reverend Greg Green from Baton Rouge, Reverend Larry Brown from Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, and Pastor Robert Little from New Orleans.
You don't want to miss these life-changing meetings. Service times are Thursday through Saturday at 9 a.m. and 7 p.m. nightly, and on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. Everyone is invited. You don't want to miss this explosion of blessing.
Plan now to attend the Word Explosion
beginning September 6th through the 9th.
The Word Christian Center is located at 4701 Lee Street. For more information, call 318-442-8100 or visit our website at thewordcc.com.
Get ready for an explosion of the Word of God. I look forward to
KAYT, Lake Charles, 100.1.
Circling the globe with the glory of the gospel. This is the Movement of Christ broadcast, featuring the teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II. Preaching the uncompromised Word of God, Dr. Montgomery is pastor of the Greater King David Baptist Church, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, and ministers to the needs of all people through the love of God. Join us now for an anointed message from God's Word for your life today.
Get your Bibles and stand on your feet and honor the word of the Lord.
It's all right.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, thank you now for the time of hearing you speak to our hearts. We pray that the Holy Ghost will take the text and tailor it so that every hearer's heart might hear what you have to say to each one of us. We thank you in advance, God, for the principles that you shall share with us. Now give us power to practice what we learn this day. We'll be ever so careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. If you turn your Bibles to Matthew's account of the Gospel, chapter 6, beginning at verse 9. Matthew 6, beginning at verse 9. One of the gospel writers said to Jesus, John taught his disciples how to pray. Yes. Lord, teach us how to pray. Yes. In what is termed the Sermon on the Mount, when in fact it is the Lesson on the Mount, Jesus taught not only the disciples, but the crowd, the multitude, what we know now as the model prayer. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9 starts, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I want to revisit verse 13, because it is in verse 13 that I want to lift out our focus today. And it says, "And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, but deliver us from evil. But deliver us from, but deliver us from evil. Now, when you look at this, and I wish I had the time to break down the prayer in the different parts that present a different view of understanding what is inclusive of this model prayer that would be helpful, that when we shape our prayer, structure our prayer, we will include in our prayer the thing or things that interest the Lord. I know a lot of you don't believe, but there's a lot of things you say to the Lord He's really not interested in. And if this is the model prayer, it is simply, again, a helpful, holy hint as to how to pray that will please God and yet benefit you. And so it doesn't mean that every time you pray, you simply pray this prayer and don't deviate one point or place from the other. It simply means that if you really want to know what God wants to hear, a lot of what you need to say is in this prayer. And one of the things that I think is so important is that when he gets to the point where Jesus is saying, and lead us not into temptation. I mean, James talks about temptation. He gives us, a clear understanding that God does not ever tempt us with evil, with wrong, with bad. So if ever we are tempted, tested, tried by those things that are unlike God or those things that are evil, it always comes from the devil. Now, God will try us. God will allow us to be tested. And in that sense, it is a temptation, but it is also one with limitations that God always does to help not only us, but the enemy know that we are who God says we are. But this part about, but deliver us from evil. There are seven places in the New Testament that would help us, and I want to try and visit them. Let's go first to Hebrews, if you don't mind. And I want to look at some of these, because when we look at this word and understand it from the vantage point of the writer, we will see how, again, Jesus himself has said, deliver us from evil. Well, then what are the evils that we need deliverance from? The first evil, according to this word that we're sharing today, is an evil conscience. An evil, deliver us from an evil conscience. Now, a conscience is that place where you are able to discern good and bad. So you know when you are convicted of something, it is generally because your conscience knows that it was the wrong decision to make or wrong action to take. So one of the things that we need to recognize is that we need deliverance from an evil conscience. Another thing I need to throw out about this word evil is that it is a difference, and it is different from the things of God. So we might not always look at the word evil in an evil context, but here's the way the Lord sees the word evil. Evil literally means to have a thought or an action or a deed that is ungodly. To him, it is evil. You're going to see evil displayed in different contexts. You're going to see that evil to us might not be evil, but if it's evil to God, can I tell you, it's evil? All right. Listen at this. Hebrews 10 and 22 says, let us draw near with a, what kind of heart? True heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, again, here the writer of the Hebrews is saying, hold on to your faith and hold fast to the faith of God. But one of the things that will help us to hold on to our faith in God is to be able to be delivered from an evil conscious. You know, if you're conscious of some things, then along with that consciousness comes that evil that is reasserted or repositioned before you. If you've asked God for forgiveness, if you have changed some things in your life and they are there before you, it is that deliverance that is necessary to relieve and release the conscience from that state of evilness. So if you're going to hold on to the faith, you can't hold on to an evil conscience and faith and or faithfulness also. So you're going to have to let one go. Is it going to be the evil conscience or is it going to be the faith walk with God? Because both of them are going to be dealt with in your mind, in your conscience. And so the first thing that we want to deal with is being delivered from an evil conscience. But if you back up, if you will, to the third chapter in Hebrews, I want you to see something else, because the word talks about an evil, listen at this, heart of unbelief, an evil heart of unbelief. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12. Take heed, brethren. And whenever the word is listed as brethren, it's also talking about men and women of the faith. Lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. Now, when you recognize that God considers unbelief an evil heart. Now, that might not be evil to you, but to God, it's evil. Why is it evil? Because first of all, let me just see the hands of those of you who believe God's word is real. Would you just lift them up? If you believe God's word is real and you believe that God is faithful to his word, to hear something declared that God said and you not believe it means that your heart is evil. It has become evil positionally because of your unbelief. In other words, when Jesus went through the town's healing and he got to his own hometown, he couldn't do many miracles. Now listen to this. It wasn't because he couldn't do them, but here is the point. They couldn't receive them. So he would not waste the miracles on those who didn't believe he could do it. So when you have an unbelieving heart that's evil to the Lord, especially when you know he can do what he said he can do. He can back up what he said he can do. So if you believe he can back up what he said he can do, and then you don't believe him, then that means you have an evil heart. This comes from Satan himself. And God is not going to take a dwelling place where Satan resides. And he resides in unbelief. How are you going to believe God for something and you talking against it? How are you going to believe God for something and you're not believing the very miracles and the very word that he has already given and declared is true? How are you going to believe God for a breakthrough when you're on a point or at a point of a breakdown and you're believing more that you're not going to make it than you are going to make it? How are you going to have a believing heart? God says it's evil. What I've done for one, I can do for the other. If you will believe me, all things are possible. If you only believe. So an unbelieving heart is evil. Deliver us from an evil, unbelieving heart. Many of us have blocked our own blessings because I just don't believe. I mean, I know the Lord can do it, but I've been waiting a long time. But I don't know. I mean, he can. I know he can. But I just, you know, I don't believe. You know, I ain't never had good luck. Okay. So listen at this. This word, but deliver us from evil. The word is clear. Evil heart of unbelief. Next time God has said something to you and it's so miraculous, it's so great, it's so grand, it's so glorious, it's so more than you could ever expect. If you don't believe that God is able to back up what he says, you have a heart that is evil before God through unbelief. You see, God wants to do stuff that blows your mind. He's already said he'll do more than you ask or think. And he'll do it exceedingly, abundantly more. More. So that means right where you stop thinking the biggest, best dream you could think, God starts at that point. So why would you not believe he could do it when he said it? Let me help you understand how powerful he is. All you have to do is walk back to the first chapter in the book of beginnings called Genesis. And just walk through the first chapter and look at what he started with nothing. And everything, 1 John chapter 1 in the gospel says, everything that was made, that is made, that's gonna be made, he made it. Now you put Genesis 1 and St. John 1 together, and you're gonna see you don't have a right to not believe God when the fact that you're here and it didn't have nothing to do with you. And it wasn't altogether just mama and daddy. God structured it from before the foundations of the world. You ain't here by accident. I don't care what nobody said. God knew you would be here and has a purpose for your life. So for you to not believe that God is able to do whatever he desires to do means you have an evil heart of unbelief. I want you to see something else. Third thing is, turn to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Now this is interesting because Ephesians gives us something else to look at. Because a whole lot of us don't understand that Ephesians 4 verse 31. We have got to learn how to be delivered from evil speaking. Evil speaking. But deliver us from evil speaking. Ephesians 4:31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Now let me walk back through this verse, and everywhere there is an and, it's a conjunction tying together that before and that after of that word for you to recognize it's placed in what's called a progressive order, which means you've got to understand it starts from the bottom and keeps escalating till it gets to its point. Verse 32 says, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake had forgiven you. Now what's the point? If you don't put away bitterness, you won't put away wrath. And if you don't put away wrath, you won't put away anger. And if you don't put away anger, you won't put away clamor. And if you don't put away clamor, you're not gonna put away evil speaking. And you won't put away that, then malice comes to a degree where, again, you're going to miss out on the opportunity to be kind one to another. Do you know you can't be kind to folk when you got all that stuff going on underneath skin? You can't be kind to yourself. Because bitterness, like a cancer, is eating you up. And then you become wrathful and you start scheming and plotting. Anger sleeps with you, walks with you, eats with you, rides with you, spend the day with you. You mad for no reason. What's wrong with you? You just sit down with a twisted, ugly face. Because your mind is steady going. You right, you at work, but you all twisted up in the face because all this stuff is going on. And with all malice. Listen again. And it says, verse 32, you can't forgive one another if you can't be kind to one another and be tenderhearted toward one another. And you need to recognize God did it for Christ's sake for you. In other words, when Christ died on the cross, he paid for all of the kindnesses and the tenderhearted forgiveness that we are to receive both from God and from man. And that's why we can't be this way with anybody else. So deliver us from evil speaking. But I want you to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. I want to just walk you through some of these verses in the Word of God so you can see when Jesus was talking about deliver us from evil. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 33. It says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. evil communications. Now, you need to realize communication is more than just speaking, because we just got through talking about evil speaking. But communication has more to do with speaking and actions, activities, and all of the things that make up, again, or positioning your body to follow your mouth. And your mouth follows your mind. And when you begin to speak a thing, you begin to do what is called self-fulfilled prophecy. Communications, evil communications, if you keep speaking positive things, you're going to continue to operate in positive things. You keep speaking negative things, before you know it, it will not just stop at speaking negatively, it will follow with doing negative things. And of course, when they are negative, they are going to find themselves rooted in an evil that you need deliverance from. Otherwise, your communications, your conversations, your connections will all become devious and evil because of the very thing that you keep speaking out of your mouth. It has to do with your mind. It has to do with your mouth. It has to do with your actions and your activities and communication. When they are evil, corrupt good. Man, I don't care what mama taught you when you were coming up. I don't care what you learned in school about good morals and good manners. You get with the wrong folk and start talking wrong. Start acting wrong, and before you know it, they're going to lead to evil communications. And that is the thing that we need to be delivered from as believers. Now, again, every now and then, because we are made of flesh as well as spirit, we're going to have an occasion of these things to happen. But this is a spirit of these things happen. It's one thing to miss it. It's another thing to be totally opposite of God always. How many of us have missed it since last Sunday? Okay, that's my point. You all saved and filled with the Holy Ghost and love the Lord and all, but you still missed it. It's one thing to turn around and say, well, you know what, God, I'm not going to even aim at the target. It's one thing to miss the target. It's another not even aim at it. Here, you're trying to get to the bullseye, but if you're shooting in the opposite direction, do you think you're going to at least hit something?
No.
And see, that's what happens with corrupt communication, evil communication. It corrupts your manners, good manners. It corrupts you. You know, let me tell you, with evil communication, you used to be able to walk down the street. You didn't have nobody. You used to be, hey, how you doing? Well, let's get out of the world and get in the church. You used to be able to speak to folk in church. Hey, how you doing? Now, if they don't speak to you, you don't see me, I don't see you neither. I'm just as big as you. I'm just as good as you. I'm just, it start corrupting good manners. I mean, listen, it don't take nothing off of me to say good morning, whether you say good morning or not. And see, when I recognize that, but if I allow evil communication, you look and roll your eyes. I can look and roll my eyes. Or I can look and smile. God bless you. Try to have a conversation. No, I won't take you there. I don't want to get you out of your element. Because you do know folk aren't saved in the church, out of the church. They feel the same way in church. They'll say the same thing in church as they will out of church. So, you don't want to bring them there. Don't twist their arms. I want you to see something else here. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Don't make that 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Let's look at verse 18. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 18. It says, and the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And the Lord shall deliver me from every evil work. And will preserve me unto his heavenly kingdom. To whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Now listen to this here. Deliver us, but deliver us from every evil work. Now, what I like about this particular verse is it referenced actually a dual reality. Every evil work that I've done and every evil work that's been done to me. You see, because what you need to realize is even if the Lord delivers you from the evil you've done, you still got some evil that's been done to you that you need some deliverance from. And so here when he talks about this, because this is important to recognize, if the Lord doesn't deliver you from some evil that's been done to you, you will find that you cannot break free of that evil. Not that you've done, but that's been done with you, because again, it occupies your mind, it occupies your thoughts, it occupies your ambitions. You gotta get back, get even, get over on mentality. It starts changing, and the evil that has you in its clutches will keep you in a place that will keep you operating in evil if the Lord doesn't deliver. In other words, if the Lord don't change how you feel about somebody dealing with you, you're going to start dealing with them the same way they've been dealing with you. Because, I mean, if they're doing too much, you get to the point where you say, I ain't going to be too many more of them. Lord, deliver me from this. I done had about as much as I can stand. Popeye say, I can't stand no more. You know, there's a point where you need some deliverance from the evil that's done for you. You done bump me one time too many, brother. Don't bump me like that. No, you got a lot of room. You in my space. Can I just be real with some of y'all in here? Because some of you living it right now, and you know it's the evil that's being done to you that you get to a point where you don't know how much more this you can take. And sometimes it don't become a part of what you can take. It's a part of what you're going to take. I don't know how much more of this I'm going to. Because if you catch me on the wrong day, when I ain't all prayed up, when you catch me and I ain't on no fast, and you catch me and I've just been going through hell and I'm sick of hell, I ain't about to take no more hell, then it's on in. Come on, act real with me here. If you are not delivered from evil work, it affects you bad. So deliver us from every, somebody say every, evil work. But then I want you to go to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians. Back up, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Because there's something else that we need to be delivered from. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 22. And it says, abstain from all appearance of evil. Jesus did say, but deliver us from evil. So now, when you look at this word here that Paul writes to the church of Thessalonica, he says to the Thessalonians, abstain from all appearance of evil. Abstain from. See, there's some evil that just shows up in your view. There's some evils that you cannot avoid. But then there are some evils that you put yourself right in front of. It might be on your TV, your video. I mean, you get in your car driving someplace. For some of y'all, it might be the mall. It might be the boat. And you're not on it because it floats.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. 1-800-633-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry. Partner with this ministry. And tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this